sense that. The body will pick up those things. The soul can recognize that, but it is a spiritual thing that the spirit of a man responds to. When we're born again, it is the spirit of a man that's born again. The Bible tells us, particularly Romans, about renewing the mind. So the mind, the intellect, the soul, the seat of emotion, and so on, the mind is trained and renewed. Spirit's born again. Mind is renewed to the Word. And as far as body, well, we'll just get a new one day because this one is imperfect. Amen. So a three-part being yourself, spirit, soul, body. And the parts of you grow and respond differently to God. God is a spirit. And we relate to Him spiritually. We understand it and grow in it in our souls. We sometimes feel it in our bodies. Amen. So we're talking about the Spirit of God on these things. And I just felt led, as we started some weeks ago, to not only talk about the Spirit of God as in Day of Pentecost and what came as a result, but that was not the first of the Spirit of God upon the earth. And so we started, if you remember, in the first chapter of Genesis, Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. So before there was earth as we understand it today, Spirit of God was here. And we can understand from the Scriptures that the Spirit of God is the power agent upon the earth. God the Father will decree it. Talks about Jesus being the creator of all things, but the force, the power, the one on the earth doing it is the Spirit of God. And so we took a somewhat brief, but we kind of took an overview of the Old Testament and the view, the workings of the Holy Spirit through that time. And if you'll recall, the Spirit of God would come upon certain individuals for certain functions. You would have the priests, the prophets, the kings, from time to time, anybody. But the Spirit of God would come upon them to empower them in some way that they didn't possess naturally. And so you would have the prophets who would prophesy and under inspiration write down the Scriptures. You had the kings. King David's probably the greatest example. Spirit of God would come upon King David and do a variety of things. The Psalms would come from him. He would prophesy. He would write the Scriptures. He'd be inspired in battle. The spirit of might would come upon him. On the subject of the spirit of might, sometimes we're not sure what to make of him, but what about Samson? Samson and those great exploits of strength. To look at him, he wasn't, you know, a competitor with Arnold Schwarzenegger for bodybuilding. He would be a normal-looking man, I suppose, and the Spirit of God would come upon him and do these great feats of strength. That was the anointing. That was the presence of the Spirit that would come upon him. So we see that through the time of the Old Testament. And as we think of Jesus, keep in mind, he operated under the Old Covenant as well, and the Spirit of God would come upon Jesus. Jesus, from his conception, we looked at that a little bit. It was a work of the Spirit that whereby, however I should say that, Mary conceived. Scripture says that she would be overshadowed by the Spirit of God, and she would conceive. And so that was a work of the Spirit, the conception of Jesus. And so he, from his conception, had the Spirit of God upon him. Him, being different from the prophets and kings, not born with a sin nature, there was always a presence of the Spirit upon him that abided on him. We looked at where he said, of my own self, I can do nothing. So he said that it would be the Spirit's presence that he didn't do anything except he saw the Father do it. So Jesus had gifts of the Spirit working. He would see the Father, hear the Father, know what to do, work miracles, work healings, all these things Jesus did by the anointing of the Spirit upon him as a man. So we look through a couple of weeks of that ministry of the Spirit that way as well. And we got to the point of his crucifixion, his resurrection, and we were a little bit careful to show how Jesus on the day of his ascension, is a little bit of review okay for everybody to remind you of these things? On the day of, not his ascension, on the day of his resurrection, the afternoon after he had resurrected, he was in the upper room with the disciples, and the scripture says he breathed on them and said, what? Receive the Holy Spirit. So something happened on that occasion, the afternoon of his resurrection, and I think you could make a very strong spiritual case, it seems certain to me, that they were then born again on the afternoon of his resurrection. They received a work of the Spirit. By the way, it says he breathed on them. The Greek word is pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma, where we have a modern word, pneumatic. Pneumatic means air-powered or air-driven. Pneuma in Greek would mean wind or breath or spirit. So the giving of the Spirit whereby they could be born again came with the breath of Jesus. Some of you that have been around long enough might remember the ministry of Brother Dave Duell. Yeah, yeah. He's with the Lord in heaven now. But he would, remember he'd blow on people like that, right? And the Spirit of God would move. And he's the only one I know that had a ricochet move too. Y'all remember that? You know, he had a vision one time where he looked at his arm and he says, and it was a flaming sword like that. And only he can tell these stories that way that really are wonderful. But he's, whoa! Like that, right? But that was one of the ways, and the Lord told him to use that flaming sword to chop the cords that held people bound. So that's a couple of things that are a little bit different, but that's a gift God gave Brother Dave. And so you'd see him sometimes, you know, touch somebody, maybe his shoulder, hands, or something like that, and reach around the back and whoo, like that. And they would feel it. They would experience a liberation and so on. But I bring it up because he would blow on people. And sometimes, you know, there was a mighty manifestation of the Spirit as he would blow. Amen. Amen. So they were born again that afternoon of the resurrection. But he tells them a little later, stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Tells them to wait for the coming of the Spirit that he spoke to them of. And we do the math. He said that on his ascension, which was 40 days after his crucifixion. And we know the coming of the Spirit that he spoke of was on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. So there was a period there of 10 days after he said, wait, a total of 50 days from the time that they were born again, had a work of the Spirit in them, received the Spirit, they did, and the day of Pentecost, where today we would call that simply the day they were filled with the Spirit. And that takes us to, we had Resurrection Sunday last week, and we talked about the Lamb of God, so we took a break from this. But if you go the week before that, we started covering the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit. And one of the things we pointed out was that you had these people, disciples, born again, but hiding in the upper room. And why were they hiding? Because there was a danger out there for them as followers of Jesus. Their leader had just been crucified. And so that threat was over their heads, and they were hiding out, you know, and afraid to say anything. In fact, Peter had denied Jesus. And so, you see, not to pick on Peter, I mean, I never walked on the water. Peter did. But Jesus, or Peter denied Jesus. 50 days later, we see in the day of Pentecost, he is out on the streets preaching his heart out. What happened? What changed? Well, he was endued with power from on high with the coming of the Spirit. And Brother Dave might have said something like this, you know, took that chicken spirit out of Peter and gave him the Holy Spirit, spirit of boldness. Amen. So there was a change. There was a dramatic change. And so we looked at a bit of that, and we're going to kind of pick up there. I'm going to, before I pick up there, want to say a couple other things. Why teach about the Holy Spirit? Why talk about these things? Why do we open our hearts to this whole area where maybe other churches just, we don't do that stuff. We don't talk about that, you know. We avoid that, you know, all of that kind of thing. Why do we talk about it? Why is it valuable to us? Turn with me, if you would, to John 14 and verse 16. And just remind you of a couple of things, and then we'll go as I just promised. I don't know about you, but I need help. Anybody in here, you could use some help? Have you found life holds any challenges for you? Have you ever been tempted to say, maybe even said it, this is too much, I can't do this, I can't do this anymore? Well, you need help. John 14, 16, Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper.
Thank you, Lord.
That he may abide with you once in a while, if you really behave yourself, on a good day, just when you go to church, huh? He will abide with you
forever.
Just right there. You mean when I don't feel it? You mean when it's looking really bad? You mean when I'm crying and blowing snot all over and don't know what to do and there's just nobody that loves me? She said, I love you. He abides with you forever. Again, have you ever needed a helper?
God bless America.
I have needed a helper. I realized this, especially in 1982, 1983, 1984. Jeremiah was born in 1981. She had an inheritance, a little bit of money. We got a good start, started a construction company, and managed to blow through that money and went to the bank and borrowed some more, and then we borrowed some more, and then we borrowed some more, and finally this thing just wasn't working for us. First 2 years, I made piles of money, and then it seemed to just all dry up. Looking back now, I think it wasn't God's plan for my life. And there was a call to ministry, either there or coming. And when the brook dries up and there is no water, you better start asking, am I doing the right thing in the right place? Right? But anyway, we got seriously in debt and in trouble. One baby to feed, then it was two babies to feed. And I realized I need help. And I turned to God, asked for help. But I saw that over in Acts, that I would be endued with power from on high. That the Holy Ghost is my helper. God, I need help. Well, he sent a helper. Maybe I ought to have the help of this helper. Jesus, in this verse, says he would send another helper. if he ascended to heaven and is not physically present to help me, he says he didn't. In fact, just look at verse 18 right here. John 14:18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. If Jesus is leaving, he says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will come. How does he come? He comes with or as another helper. That might not be a good way to say it. He sent another helper. Somebody help me. Is this a scripture in the King James Version? If you're looking at it, does it say comforter?
It says comforter.
Another comforter. Now, even that, has anybody in here ever needed a comforter? Anybody ever needed a little bit of comfort?
Yes.
Anybody ever needed a shoulder you could cry on and help with your boo-boos? Yes. I don't know about you, but just another helper, enough comfort. That's enough for me. I want this helper. I want the ministry of this helper to help me. I want the comforter to help me. And I open my heart to whoever he is, however he is, and however he moves. I want the helper. I want the comforter. And if it comes with some things I didn't understand, well, I don't get to, you know the phrase, beggars can't be choosers. I want the comforter and the helper, but I don't want all that other stuff. That's not for me to say. Or another saying people have, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Do you know what that's about, by the way? You look at their dental condition. You can tell the age of a horse by looking at their teeth. That's what that's about. And if you open up their mouth and look at their teeth and say, well, this old nag, I don't know if I'll even get it home before it drops dead, you know. It was a gift. You don't look a gift horse in the mouth. That's what that phrase is about. So I needed a comforter. I needed a helper. Thank God I had and have a help meet, a helper. There's nothing to me, there's nothing more beautiful than a complete family, a husband and wife helping one another, complimenting one another, children, the next generation coming up. Children are a blessing of the Lord. They're a stewardship that we bring up and teach them the ways of the Lord. And I was thinking while we were singing, all four of mine are here in the room. How blessed am I? How blessed are we? It's a wonderful thing. But we see, I can't but go to the store. And when I see, yesterday I went to the Menards store. And here comes husband, wife, and a couple little ones. And they don't know it, but they put such a smile on my face. And I don't know them, don't know who they were. And maybe everything's not great in their house. I don't know. But in my mind, it was a beautiful thing. Husband and wife. A helpmeet. There's part for the husband. There's part for the wife. But together, such a beautiful thing. And she and I together, she helped me so much. But she wasn't everything. We together needed this helper, this comforter. And before we talk about tongues, interpretation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, before the working of signs and wonders and miracles, know this, he is your appointed helper.
Amen.
And for that reason, I take him as he is. And I don't try to box him up. I don't try to limit him. I don't try to redefine him. I don't make him more palatable to everybody out there. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of God, and how he is how he is, and he moves as he chooses, and I open my life and my heart to whatever that is. Amen. So I just felt compelled this morning to remind us, above and beyond, we start talking about various particulars. Remember this, he's your given helper. Amen. I cannot tell you how many times I can't find something and I say, Holy Ghost, you know where it is. And so many times I'll say, Lord, you know where. Can you address the Holy Spirit as Lord? I think you can. He's God. And whether you're referring to Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, sometimes I'm not sure that it really matters how we say that. However, Holy Spirit, you know where it is. And I don't know why, but sometimes immediately my head turns and boom, it's like it's a standing out, flashing at me. And I wonder, I looked there three times. How did I not see that before? Or I just don't know what the solution or the answer is. Help me, Holy Ghost. What's my answer? And either quickly or sometimes over time, I have a thought, oh, well, what if we just, and there it is, there's the answer. And again, before the particulars, how does he do that? If he's my helper and he does that, he's the revealer. How do I gain that revelation from him? How do I get that? And we're going to get to talking about the particulars. But I just today want to stir up in you, you have a helper. You have a comforter. How valuable is that? And how much attention should you pay to your helper? Are you in any kind of a trouble or a situation today? There's a helper on standby. If you're really dragging because it hurts and you don't know what to do and you're not sure who your friends are or who to turn to, there is a comforter on standby, ready. Maybe this would be a good time to say this too. The Holy Spirit is, Brother Hagin would say it this way, a gentleman. Have you noticed some people just don't want help? Anybody who's raised children, there's always that one that doesn't want you tying their shoe, doesn't want you this or that, whatever it might be. And we can, that doesn't change just because you turn 18. There are adults that, you know, I'm going to figure this out. And they want to by determination, by willpower, by force. Sometimes people mistakenly call that by faith, and it's not. But sometimes the Holy Spirit stands ready to help, knows the answer, is ready to be our comforter, our helper, and we just don't yield or ask. Ask for help. You know, I have my grandchildren from Louisiana here again this Sunday. Wonderful thing. The oldest of them, Ashton, our grandson, when he was just a little guy, a toy that wasn't going together the way he thought it should or something like that, he got really frustrated at it and even angry. And his Grammy really worked with him quite a lot when we'd have him over. And instead of, you know, getting and throwing something and bursting out in frustration, you know, we'd get him, stop. Just say, help. Ask for help. So he learned to kind of control that anger, get that under control, that frustration. And he would start saying, help. Sometimes there was a little bit of volume in his call for help, but we're moving in the right direction here. Yeah. And so she's true to that to this day. Sometimes in the middle of the night, I'll hear her yelling, help, help, help. And if she doesn't quiet down, I got to get up and go down and talk to her. Okay, what do you need help with? I want to go home. Well, darling, you are home. I am not, you know. It's just one of those things that the brain injury, so most of the time she thinks her home is where she grew up as a child. But anyway, help. Ask for help. You have a helper. When you're feeling really down, lousy, disillusioned, Ask for help. Ask the Comforter. Amen. Now, there is nothing wrong with a phone call from somebody. Maybe we should, from time to time, be sensitive. If the God, you know, just if you think of somebody, call them. We had a brother many years ago, a part of our church. He would say quite a bit, you know, sometimes people need Jesus with skin on.
Oh, that's so true.
That means in the form of another person, with a few encouraging words, just somebody calling you and asking or texting you, how are you doing?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You already know God has not forgotten you. You have someone that's not forgotten you. And a few words can go so far toward comforting somebody. I've been the giver of those words from time to time. I certainly have been the recipient of those words from somebody around me. I got a call from Pastor Scott Webb this week. Oh, that means so much to me, right? You know, and maybe he'll share something just wonderful, and maybe it'll be just that he called. You know, but, and I'd even say this. I'm reluctant to call somebody when I need a call from somebody. But, you know, he rebuked me a little bit. Hey, just call anytime. What are you talking about? You know, bother me, that kind of thing. But anyway, the ministry of the Comforter will often be through other people. Amen. Amen. The ministry to other people will often be through you. So stopping in, calling them, texting them. Let's go to lunch. Let's go to coffee. That all is part of the manifestation of the Spirit through you and to you. So again, why are we talking about these things? One more verse, and then I'll go back to where I jumped off. John 16:13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. You can have, working this verse backwards, you can have the inside track on what's coming. And you can prepare mentally, emotionally. Maybe you can prepare financially. I know there are times when this has worked for me. I certainly recall Brother Hagin talking about the Lord telling him a recession is coming in the United States. There was a particular time, I think it might have been in the 70s, when the Lord said to him, there's a recession coming. Lay off 10% of the staff. That's not good news, I suppose, to some. But for the survival of the ministry back in those days, said lay off 10% of the staff and set aside 10% extra in the bank. Spend 10% less in the ministry. And when that recession came, they went right on through without having a financial crisis.
Amen.
Amen. So He will tell you things to come. You'll get sometimes just a sense of it, sometimes specifics. But going back to the first part, He will guide you into all truth. Have you ever needed a guide? Is there someone who can show me how to do this? Is there someone who can show me the way? We so often benefit, you know, someone showing you how to do something or showing you the way. You know, you get a new telephone and you ask, you got to have a guide, someone to tell you how it works. New software, any of those kinds of things. Well, some of us learn to just poke around, you know, but others, you need a little bit of help. How does this work? The Holy Spirit is your guide. And guide into truth. You hear news reports of all kinds of things this way, that way, and sometimes you just don't know. Where is the truth? You get into the political arena, and there's claims this way, and there's claims that way, and even things about, there's a big deal about the Epstein files. and what all happened, and are they hiding things, or, you know, how do you know? First of all, I don't know that anybody knows, but I depend on the Spirit of God to guide me into all truth, or to tell me, that don't matter to you. Don't you spend no time with that, worrying about that. So what all went down? I don't know. And for my life right now, I need to do what he tells me to do and let the Lord take care of all of that, and the people appointed, let them take care of all of that. Is there injustice and wrong in this world? Yes, there is. Should people be punished for their part? Yes, they should be. Are they always punished for what they do? No, they are not. Amen. But like one disciple said to Jesus about John the Apostle, what about this fella? And Jesus basically said to him, what's that to you? Mind your own business. There's a whole lot of stuff, folks, that it would be good for us to just mind our own business. Amen. And I get wrapped up in all those side things. But anyway, so he's the helper. He's the comforter. He's the guide into all truth. Just on those three things that Jesus said, I want all of the ministry of the Spirit of God in my life that I can possibly get. Is there some other things that some call unusual, strange, all of that? Well, they might call it strange, but if that's how he is, I want that too. I want him. I want the full benefit of the Spirit of God available to me in my life.
Amen.
And if he moves upon me, I'll say this too before I move on. I didn't write much notes, but that don't necessarily mean I'm going to be short. I intentionally wrote two less pages of notes today to see if we can shorten this up. But the Bible tells us, we looked at this some weeks ago, that Jesus had the Spirit without measure. The fullness of the Spirit of God, the fullness of the anointing of God was on him, right? The rest of us, we have a measure of the anointing of God. You may have a calling and a gifting, a measure of the Spirit. The fullness of the Spirit is upon, I would say, the whole church, but not any one person in the church. The body together would be the fullness of the Spirit. But Jesus did have the fullness of the Spirit. And so I'll have to paraphrase, I don't remember, maybe somebody could quote it exactly. But Jesus, with the fullness of the Spirit, it is also said that he was anointed with joy above all his fellows. Amen. Being full of the Spirit is being full of joy. Could anybody in here use a little bit of joy in their life? Amen. That one right there would be enough for me. I could use some happiness, or some happiness is not a good word for it. I could use some joy. I could just use, you know, a lightness in my step, a little bit of soaring like an eagle above the troubles and above the problems. And when something breaks down, oh, so what? You can laugh at that dumb thing. We'll just get us another one.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus, full of the Spirit, was full of joy. That's another reason to be full of the Spirit and have all the ministry of the Spirit in your life. You could use a little bit of joy. Amen. And joy is not like happiness. It surpasses happiness. It's above happiness. It's an ability to rise above troubles and problems. And you look and you say, ah, tornado damage, ah, that ain't nothing. Got to deal with this and that, and we got to find a roofer, and insurance doesn't cover it all. Oh, so what? God's got me covered. A little bit of joy. People full of joy laugh a lot. Amen. Amen. Why teach on the Holy Spirit? These things I'm talking about right here. He's your helper. He's your comforter. He fills you with joy. He's your guide into truth. Who? What fool doesn't want the fullness of the Spirit? That may be a strong word, but that's what comes up in me. I'd be a fool not to want all of the ministry of the Spirit and all that He could do in me and through me and for me. And I'd be a fool not to participate in that and experience that and pour out as much as I can on everybody around me. Amen. And we'll just get us a Holy Ghost bunch and we can roll again in the roller rink. We can be holy rollers on the skate floor here, amen. That's why we teach the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I felt led to show through eternity, starting in Genesis 1. And we're up to the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit. We looked at a few things there. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. See, you're feeling it. I just talk about His anointing of joy and you feel it. It's available to you. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. You can participate, you can elect to be a part of it, or you can refuse. Well, if He came upon me and made me do some things, you know, well, then maybe I would. And I tell you, He's capable. But He's looking for the willing heart. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, I'm just not the sort to jump up and run around church. Jesus was. Amen. I do not remember which gospel, but when He sent out the 70 and they came back and they said, even the spirits are subject to us. It says that He answered with, if I remember it right, halal, where we get hallelujah. And that term means, its definition in Hebrew, as long as I'm remembering the right word here, it means to leap and to twirl. So Jesus heard the good report, and He jumped up and down, and He twirled around, and I don't know, is that dancing? Kind of sounds like it to me. Kind of the way I dance if I dance. Because you can't really call it anything that's organized. Or what's the steps to that dance, Pastor Dan? I don't know. It just happens. It's just a leg goes this way and a foot does that and hand goes this way. And by the way, Scripture tells us the men of God, men of old, wrote the Scriptures as they were moved upon. They were inspired by God. Dancing in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit. It's as we're inspired by the Spirit of God. Well, what are you doing? What are the steps? What are you saying? What are you singing? I don't know. I go with what comes. I can't even think of it. I don't understand it, but it happens. Amen. How about it, John?
Yes,
sir. Hallelujah. And I find this, it's like everything. The first step is by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, I never run around church excited. That's because you were never willing to stand up and take the first step. First step's by faith, and then it comes after that. If I ever dance in here under the inspiration of God, it's because I took the first step, and then I'm not responsible for anything that happens after that. That's right.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Ha ha ha!
Our Bibles do say a merry heart does good as a medicine. You want some medicine this morning? Okay, they're losing it over here. What's happening? I don't understand. Yeah, well, you're not meant to understand. You don't have to understand. Hallelujah. John dropped his gum on the way. Almost stepped on it, John. I always title a message so my computer knows how to find it next time I want to see it. This one is called The Effect of the Spirit. The Effect of the Spirit. And there are many. There are many. What happened, she says. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 By the way, in such an atmosphere of welcoming, you know the song, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. If that's true and that's where the people are, He can move, He can manifest. That's when greater things can happen. It's wonderful to laugh and be filled with joy and a refreshing. And Peter preached about that. Times of refreshing would come upon you. A refreshing and so on, you know. But how about a healing in our bodies? How about something unlocks and a problem is dealt with by the Spirit of God? Hallelujah. All of those things. Yeah, yeah. That's the Spirit of God. That's why we teach. That's why we open our hearts and open ourselves. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Does anybody want to tell me that it won't get so exciting in heaven that there won't be millions and millions running around and jumping and shouting and leaping and twirling? And then after you've done that, you know, then you fall on your face in holy respect and reverence, and there's silence for about 1,000 years when the anointing is just heavy and thick. Hallelujah. 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 So I just thought I'd remind you why. This is good. Hallelujah. I think we'll go forward here next into some of these things. And by the way, the more we welcome manifestation moves of the Spirit, including all of this, the more we're going to see signs, wonders, miracles, healings. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We got something on the left side of the congregation over here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh my God.
Hallelujah. Jessica must be teaching. She's a good one for this. She would be really laughing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes you'll come out of a service like this and an issue, a trouble, a problem you didn't know what to do with, suddenly you just know what to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Her brain is injured, but her spirit was not. And she has her times very sensitive to the Spirit of God, and she knows these things. Sometimes the injured brain speaks, and then it's all kind of not so good. But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So do I move on? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So these things guide into all truth, comforter, helper. I'm forgetting the other one, what it was. But we want those things, that we want that help in our lives. And I don't think we can tell the Holy Spirit how he's going to behave himself. Amen. You know, we receive him or we don't. Amen. Well, I'm going to try. Acts chapter 2. I don't know why you're holding back so much, Susan. Yeah. Remember last time, 2 weeks ago, Peter said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. Why would they be accused of being drunk? Because they acted like it, a lot like it. But they were not drunk that way. So a little bit of drinking going on here. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. I'm going to try. Got a couple more scriptures. We're picking up day of Pentecost. The disciples were out on the street. People say, what's going on? Peter preaches, and we won't go through all that he preached, but he took it to them. It was very bold in his preaching, and we're going to pick up at verse 37. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So as we did look at this verse previously, I'll say again here, you know, perhaps the greatest work of the Spirit of God is the ability to cut to the heart, or the Spirit of God to cut to a man's heart when he hears the gospel, when he hears preaching. We might talk about effective public speaking. Oh, it's not effective public speaking, though you can learn some things. It is the ministry of the Spirit that gets to a man's heart. That may be by far the greatest thing, is that the Spirit of God guides into truth, bears witness of truth, convicts a man, and he realizes, well, I need to do something here. What do I need to do? And an individual can call on the name of the Lord, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a great work of the Spirit, is the anointing upon a preacher, upon preaching, upon sharing the Word, upon reading the Word even. Amen. So that's a work of the Spirit there. Verse 38 will continue. Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And as we have covered, when they receive Jesus, they receive a work of the Spirit. But we are on the day of Pentecost in the middle of a manifestation of what we might call the fullness of the Spirit, further manifestation of the Spirit. Verse 39, "For the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." There are Christians, born-again Christians even, who say all of what you see in the book of Acts, these manifestations of the Spirit, was only for the time of the disciples. It's not for today. I think Peter says different. And the Holy Spirit made sure it was written down in our Bibles. This promise of the Spirit, these manifestations, these things, these ministries. How can you say, "I want the help and comfort of the Spirit," and you don't want the other part? Other parts. How can you say that? That's kind of like saying to, you get married. You say to a spouse, say to a husband, "I want you to provide for me, but I don't really want to live with you. I don't want you moving in with your clothes. You know, you go to work and you sweat and they stink. So I want your money, but I don't want you." Or vice versa, the other way around, you know. "I want you to cook and clean for me, woman, but, you know." We don't get to define those things with God. We take Him as He is. Amen. Take the Spirit as He is. So that promise is to as many as the Lord our God will call. That's to me. That's to you. I am the children's children and those that are afar off. This promise of the Spirit is for us today. It's not done away with. And none of the manifestations of the Spirit are done away with. They were not just for a time. We need them today as much as they needed them then. Amen. Let's go to the 40th verse then. "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Wow. 120 to 3,000 in one day. Amen. What's the difference? The difference is the disciples, the apostles, were filled with the Spirit, went out preaching under the anointing. The Spirit of God cut men to the heart, and 3,000 added that day. I don't know about you, but I want that happening today. You want people to be saved? We might need a little bit of Holy Ghost help for people to be saved. We'd be thrilled with 5 people getting saved this morning here in church, wouldn't we? How about 500? How about 5,000? Amen. I think we need the work and ministry of the Spirit. Amen. We need it today as much as we've ever needed it. These things of the Spirit were not for the 1970s and the charismatic revival. They're for today. Amen. Let's go then to verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." Here's 4 keys to a growing church. Continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. 4 things they did. They paid attention to doctrine and teaching. They gathered to be taught. Then, fellowship. We need one another. Fellowship is the hanging out together, eating meals together, encouraging one another, loving on one another, hearing of a need and going over and helping with that need. The breaking of bread, that quite literally means communion, but not only communion, of eating together. You want to get to know somebody, you really need an hour or two, to do that, maybe on an ongoing basis. And going out to eat together is a wonderful way to share with one another, to have conversation. You know, you can always get me to show up for food. Right? So invite me out for lunch, and you'll get an hour of my time. And undoubtedly, the Spirit of God will bring me things that I can minister to you and help you, and you me. Right? So the breaking of bread and in prayers. That's the four healthy habits of a church. And with the ministry of the Spirit, these things were established. Gathering for teaching the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship with one another. Meals together. And prayer. Amen. The four components of a healthy church. Then it goes on. Let's look at down to verse 46. It says, so continuing daily with one accord. Early church met every day. I'm not saying we have to meet every day, but maybe you should participate in something with somebody every day, right? But they continued daily, not just continued daily, with one accord. They were in unity. Unity is so important. There's so many issues that we, you know, should just leave aside. There may be things we don't agree with one another on. Those are not important. They should just be laid aside. Just avoid talking about that for now. And love on one another, you know. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. That's the way to live. Simplicity of heart. You know, you don't need to go correcting somebody about this or that. Find out what you have in common and rejoice over that. And keep it glad and keep it encouraging and keep it helpful. Amen. You know that old saying, they don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care? Amen. If you see somebody needs a little bit of instruction on something, you better express a lot of care before you get around to telling them what they need to do. And even at that, maybe you should be invited to talk about it before you talk about it. Amen. Not your job to go around correcting folks. I even learned as a pastor, I'm not the Holy Ghost. I don't convict of sin. That's for Him to do. Amen. Why doesn't Pastor Dan do something about this or that? Well, it depends on what it is. If they're in the open, in public, in our presence, I'll have to deal with that. But, you know, what's going on at their house? That's none of my business either. Amen. Just a little side note there. Thought I'd toss that in. But simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. If you're good to people, they'll be good to you, even the bad people. After a while, they'll find it difficult to be bad to you. Some will, no matter what. But how do you have favor with people? Be good to them. Be loving to people everywhere you go. I cringe when I see people attacking a waitress or a waiter, you know, going after them like that, or a checkout person or something like that, or a service writer at the dealership, those kinds of things, you know. Maybe the dealership is screwing something up, and maybe they need some correction on that, but you don't crucify that person. Amen. Hallelujah. Praising God, having favor with all the people. And it says then, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I went through those few scriptures there to say this. If we want to add to the church, and we should want to, we should want other people to also get saved, filled with the Spirit. We should want other people to benefit and see improvement in their lives as well. Notice it was the ministry of the Spirit that not only kicked this off, but kept it going. And there's a level of participation that we need to carry on as well. in these things. But it was the ministry of the Spirit, the coming of the Spirit, the helper, the guide. He's here to help you personally, but more than that, he's here to build the church. Or in addition to that, he's here to build the church. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Love on people around you. You know, you can't be cranky at a neighbor and then invite him to church. That kind of don't work. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can't be cranky and tell him, oh, you need to get saved. You need to receive Jesus. You know, you just, that's not the way to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless you and thank you for this service today. We thank you for the reminder, and we do indeed enjoy the manifestation of joy amongst us, upon us, reminders of who you are, your availability, how you can help us. Father, we thank you for all of these things today, and we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, and we ask for more, and we invite more of your ministry amongst us, in even the particular ways which we will get to coming up. So, Father, we thank you for that today. Now, as we receive our tithes and offerings as well, we thank you for the principles, the laws, the supernatural laws, sowing and reaping, giving, receiving, tithe, devour, rebuked. We thank you for all of that as we participate and receive blessing thereby. Father, we thank you, and we call this offering blessed to our needs here at Renew Church, blessed in each house and the needs represented here. Father, thank you for all of this working together for our good. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.